Today, all about home lending. Hello again, I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to our latest post covering finance and property news with a distinctively Australian flavour. Today, the ABS published their housing lending statistics for May 2018, and APRA Chair Wayne Byers spoke on the resilience in the financial sector. Interesting timing. APRA pretty much says that they called it just right, and their tightening has not really impacted overall credit growth, and any further tightening in lending standards will be marginal. Wayne Byers said, first, the changes in lending practices to date do not seem to have an obvious impact on housing credit flows in aggregate. Total housing lending grew, he says, at around 6% in the year to May 2018, which is only marginally below long-run averages and roughly in line with the average run since 2011. That covered the period since home prices last went through a period of softening in Australia. Indeed, cumulative credit growth in the roughly 3.5 years since APRA stepped up the intensity of their actions was greater than cumulative credit growth in the preceding 3.5 years. Credit growth appears to be slowing somewhat at the moment, he said, but that is not surprising in an environment of softening house prices and rising interest rates. Second, he said it's evident that the composition of housing credit has shifted noticeably. Lending to investors is certainly now growing more slowly compared to 3 or 4 years ago. But despite the tightening in lending standards, which it's important to remember also apply to owner-occupiers, lending to owner-occupiers grew at a very healthy 8% over the past year. This relatively high rate of growth for owner-occupiers, running broadly at almost 3x household growth of income, has been sustained during a period in which lending policies and practices have been gradually strengthened. Despite the prominence it has been given, he said, our goal in seeking to reinforce standards and practices has been relatively modest, ensuring that internal policies are followed in practice and applying what is, in most cases, a healthy dose of common sense. This, he said, has been an orderly adjustment, and we expect to continue over time. While there is more good housekeeping to be done, the heavy lifting on lending standards has been largely done, and any tightening from this time on is expected to be at the margin as banks seek to get better handle on borrower expenses and better visibility of borrower debt commitments. Now, the ABS data show that total lending stock grew again in May. This is original data split between owner-occupied and investment lending. Total housing loan stock rose 0.5% in the month to $1.66 trillion. Within that, owner-occupied lending rose 0.5% to $1.1 trillion, and investment lending rose just 0.1% to $563 billion. Investment loans fell to be 33.8% of all loans. Overall growth is circa 6% annualized. As for whether growth at 3x income is healthy, to quote Wayne Byers, well, that's another story. Remember that debt has to be repaid eventually. Growth has been strongest in owner-occupied lending, but investment lending is also a little higher this month. The trend housing flows were down month on month, with a fall of 0.1% in owner-occupied lending to $114.7 billion, and investment lending down 1.9% to $10.7 billion. There was $6.3 billion worth of refinancing, a drop of 0.4%. And 42% of lending was for investment purposes if you exclude refinancing, and 19.9% of lending was for refinancing. And this proportion rose just a little. Looking in more detail at the trend movements by category, only owner-occupied purchase for established dwellings rose. All other categories fell back. Investor lending continued to slide on a relative basis. The month-on-month changes show the movements, and we note a slower rate of decline in investor lending. First-time buyers continue to support the market with a 17.6% share of all new loans written, but a significant rise in the number of first-time loans written, up 20.5% on last month, as well as a rise in non-first-time buyer borrowers. These are original numbers, so they do move around from month to month, and it does reflect the incentives for first-time buyers in some states. The number of investor first-time buyers continues to fall. The month-on-month movement showed that an additional 1,750 buyers were there in the month. And it's worth noting also that the average loan size continues to grow at $412,000 for non-first-time buyers, up 0.4% on the previous month, and $344,000 for the first-time buyer, up 0.5%. There are some variations across the states, but I won't include those here. There was also a further fall in the number of fixed-rate loans being written, down to 12.1% from 13.2% last month. To me, this begs the question, if credit is still running at these levels and APRA says the tightening is all but done, will we see home prices starting to trend higher? Clearly, the plan is to keep the debt bomb ticking for yet longer. But this may well mean that the RBA will have to lift rates sooner than I expected. If you like what you've heard here today, please like the post and add a comment or question. If you want to join the growing band of subscribers who receive alerts when we release new posts, do subscribe now. I'm Martin North, the Principal Analyst at Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for listening, and I'll talk to you again next time.